happened to make it so much worse.
Water glistened off the few remaining roofs, but the streets were covered in shingles and slates and piles of bricks. The tornado had done more damage across the narrow path of its passing than had been done to the suburb for nearly 100 years. The wind was still close to gale force, and Christie steadied herself against the crumbling wall behind her, catching movement out of the corner of her eyes, from across the street. She swung her weapon around to cover JB and Mildred, both looking like they'd been dragged through a hedge backward.
You two okay? Where's Ryan?
Not with us.
Doc killed one of the ghoulies. Saw it just before we made safety.
The whirling funnel of the tornado was still visible, dancing away in the distance. A strange orange light seemed to glow in the depths of its black heart.
Anyone there?
Listen.
Christie turned her head to try to focus on what she'd heard.
Dad!
Wait. If Ryan's calling for help, it means he's in trouble. Don't go and jump into the same trap that's caught him. Ryan? Ryan!
Ryan heard them and saw a shadow thrown across the wall above his head. By now, he'd sunk to the middle of his chest, feeling the pressure tugging him down. The corpse of the trapped mutie had finally vanished.
Watch out! There's no floor!
It was JB's narrow face, the spectacles glinting, staring down at him. Mildred peered over his shoulder. Dean and Christie were also in the doorway.
You all right, Dad?
Sure, Dean. Sinking into a lake of cold shit is a walk in the park. I like to spend my mornings this way. Do it whenever I get the chance.
Sorry.
You reached the bottom yet?
Not so you'd notice. There's a dead ghoulie someplace around. I don't even know if he's reached the bottom yet.
Can we get you out, Lover, and cut out all this talk?
Ryan had already unslung the Steyr SSG-70, holding it clear of the surface of the mud, and he now balanced himself, ready to throw it up to JB. The armorer had lain down on the floor, reaching to try and grab it, but it was just out of reach.
Take your time. Don't want to drop it in this shit.
The effort of lobbing it up above his head, with the muck up to his armpits, was intense. Ryan knew that his old friend was right. If he screwed up on it and the rifle fell back, it could easily sink beyond his reach. He gripped the middle of the muzzle in both hands and readied himself, then threw it butt first as hard as he could. But the throw was good, and the catch effortless.
I'll knot the strap to the one off the scatter gun. Should give us enough length to reach you.
Yeah, sure.
Ryan was sunk so deep that it would take an enormous effort to heave him out. It took the agile fingers of the armorer a couple of minutes to securely knot the straps together.
Here, get it around your wrists.
Ryan moved his feet experimentally, hoping that he might have sunk as far as the bottom, but there was still nothing below him but the thick ooze. The strap came down slowly, and he reached up and took it, looping it around his right wrist, folding the end tightly into his palm.
Ready!
JB was crouched down, with Christie immediately behind him. Mildred was ready to pull at the armorer's shoulders, and Dean was at the back, hanging on to Christie to give what help he could.
Here we go!
Ryan felt the strain through his shoulders and back, but there was no upward progress. After several seconds of intense pressure, the strap loosened.
Relax a while. You feel any movement down there, Ryan?
No. At least I'm not going down any farther.
Best I use the power.
No, not yet, Christie.
The Earth Mother power that Christie had been taught by her mother back in Harmonyville gave her, for a brief few moments, almost supernatural strength. Ryan had seen her use it only a limited number of times, and it was truly a fearsome sight. The downside was that it devastated the woman, sending her unconscious immediately after its use, gravely weakening her for up to a couple of days.
Might be the only way. This isn't the easiest way of doing a lift.
I know. If we have to use Christie's power, then we will. Not until it's the only option. Try it again. This time, brace the strap, and I'll try and haul myself against it.
Let's just be done with it. Are you ready, Ryan?
Sure, Mildred.
All right, everyone on three. One, two, three.
The strap became as taut as steel. Ryan drew on all of his strength, gaining additional force from his free left hand. Muscles creaked in his shoulders and across his broad back. With a convulsive effort, he kicked both feet together.
Hold! It's coming!
Four!
Move it! One more good one will do it, Ryan!
Now he was free to his belt, and then the middle of his thighs.
Hold it. Hold it there. Can you hang on a second while we reorganize it up here? Angle's wrong now. Just hold on.
Sure. Not much farther.
As they changed positions above him, there was a heart-stopping moment when the straps loosened and Ryan slipped down a few inches.
Shit.
All right. We're ready again. Let's go, everyone. One, two, three.
They finally started the upward haul again. Ryan's combat boots broke free of the sticky mud.
You got it! You got it!
From then on, it was easy, pulling him free until he could reach the jagged edge of the broken flooring and roll himself up and over to safety.
Hot pipe! We did it!
Thanks.
Yeah. No problem, Ryan.
Close call, huh? Yeah. Hey. Where's Doc, Jack, and the woman?
It only took a few minutes to ascertain that Jack, Doc, and Emma had vanished from the suburb as totally as if the tornado had sucked them up and spread their atoms into the dark sky.
Could the whirlwind have snatched them? The ghoulies are all gone.
More likely the ghoulies took them, Dean. Probably got a maze of their tunnels dug under the bill. Often the way they play the game.
Are we going after them?
Sure, Mildred.
It was less than half an hour since the attack of the ghoulies and the appearance of the tornado. Even to experienced trackers like Ryan and JB, the recent cataclysmic storm had destroyed any marks that might have been left by their friends. After 3/4 of an hour of careful scouting, Ryan called the others together.
Nah, it's a waste of time. There's no chance of seeing where they've been taken.
Oh!
What is it, son?
All the basements are flooded, like the one where you nearly drowned.
Yeah? Right, Dean. The ghoulies can't have taken them underground.
JB banged himself on the forehead, nearly dislodging his fedora.
Stoop. Well done, Dean.
Dean turned pink with pleasure at the rare praise from the armorer.
Means we get to look farther afield for tracks. They'll have moved out after the rain eased, so if we spread out, we can find the trail quicker.
Christy had looked away, turning toward the direction that they'd come from.
Unless...
Unless what?
Ryan followed her eyes.
Joaquin and his men?
Haven't seen them since the tornado.
And it probably wouldn't have reached them the way it veered around on itself.
Right. They'd have gotten wet, but that's all. And we all know the warnings about the Baron.
That double-sick bastard was interested in Emma because he thought she might have been a Doomie. One that he could pluck and put in his zoo.
Joaquin obviously saw the tornado. The ace on the line that Emma had predicted. Blew her cover in a big way. Yeah, it fits together like a knife in sheath. They came in behind the storm, caught them hiding somewhere close by here, captured them while I was being rescued. Izzy is taking candy from a sleeping baby.
We ain't covered any shouting.
Let's go check for tracks on the road back toward the ville. I bet 50 gets you one that we know what we'll find out there.
As Ryan looked around, the arrow wound tweaked at the small of his back, exacerbated by the strain of heaving himself out of the basement.
Ah, I am definitely getting too old for this shit.
Emma had fainted. The roaring of the tornado had drowned out all her senses. Jack had picked up the young woman in his arms, intending to carry her to safety out of the creaking building, when Doc had stumbled in, looking for all the world like a demented scarecrow, his hair blowing, his eyes open wide, waving his arms in the air. He was holding the sword stick in his right hand, the mass of Lama in the other.
Coming back! Tornado's coming back!
A chunk of the roof whirled loose, scattering its shingles around the empty staircase, some of them flying down to the first floor, narrowly missing Jack.
Out back! Shelter there!
Jack had spotted that the roof was slightly more solid at the rear of the building. He staggered the few steps along the hallway, nearly falling over the piled masonry and broken glass. The next half minute was blinding madness for all three of them. As the tornado finally raged away, Doc was first on his feet, brushing dirt and mud from his frock coat, running his fingers through his silvery hair to try to restore it to some sort of order.